I'm just going to take a few minutes to think about those lines we finished with there, the idea of peace as adults. So Christmas is a great time of year, but it can also feel a little bit frantic. Even getting here this morning may have felt a little bit frantic for some of you. There are plays and concerts and presents, food and visits and traditions. And so for many of us, as we think about the Christmas period, one of the things we end up thinking is, can I have the next slide, please? I just love 5 minutes peace. For those of you who don't know, the large family, this little series of books, are a family of elephants. They have four children. Mrs. Large is trying to look after these young children who try to be helpful but cause chaos. And in this story, she tries to get 5 minutes peace, and one child after another disturbs her. But actually, you know, we long for 5 minutes peace sometimes in the midst of Christmas busyness, but we also long for something more than 5 minutes of peace. As human beings, we want peace. That's what we desire. We long to have a world around us which is right. Right relationships without conflict. A world where we were in harmony with nature rather than feeling like it's a battle against the way the world is. And we long to have inner peace, that we'd not be ashamed of our past, that we wouldn't be fearful about the future, that we'd be content with who we are now and what we're doing now. And so that message that the angels give, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests, it resonates with us. We'd like that. If Jesus really can bring peace, that's good news for human beings. But where is this peace? We long for peace. We'd like peace that lasted a bit longer, even than 5 minutes, and yet we don't have it. Most of us struggle to have inner peace. We carry shame and guilt for our past. We're filled with fear for the future. And here and now, we're uncertain what we should be doing. There's a sense of dis-ease and emptiness. And I think if we look around us, we can see this lack of peace, both in the restless acquisition of things, including Christmas presents, and also the increasing numbers of people who are saying, I need some sort of way of getting peace, a peace bubble, like mindfulness, meditation, something that will enable me to have inner peace. And at the same time, we look at the world around us and we can see there definitely isn't peace. You know, whether it's the famous Christmas family row or the quietly seething neighbours, whether it's the political clashes which we've seen or the social media firestorm, peace isn't what we see when we look around us. Our world is groaning with the impact of human selfishness. War and oppression never stop. The vast problems of this world lead some to throw themselves into campaigning to stop prejudice and injustice and protect the natural world and stop wars. But it feels like it's like the game Whack-A-Mole. You know, the game, as fast as you get peace in one area, conflict pops up somewhere else. Mess pops up somewhere else. So where is this peace that the angel says Jesus brings? The more than 5 minutes peace that we long for. Is he really able to deliver what the angel announces? And what we're going to do for the next couple of minutes is take in the bigger picture of the Bible to see how it is that Jesus really is the Prince of Peace, and how that's good news now and good news in the long term. That he's the one who can bring the peace inside that even personal meditation and whatever can't, and he's the one who can bring social transformation that even campaigns can't achieve. If you want to know what peace looks like, we have to go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, at the very heart of reality, is a peace that is vibrant and joyful and life-giving. Because at the heart of reality is a God who's not merely one person isolated, but three persons in the most perfect unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist as one God always, and there's no hiddenness or fear or shame in their relationship. There's no division or conflict. They're in perfect harmony. Their distinctions enabling intimacy. And this is peace. It's not simply that there's an absence of conflict because I'm the only one there, but it's the richness of relationship that is right. Harmony, profound connection. And this God, three persons united in love and light and spirit, created a world and people to live in this world in peace. He brought order out of chaos and made human beings in his image, to be able to relate with love and truth, to have peace. He breathed his life into people and imprinted his image on them, and he gave them harmony. They were to rule over a world in love and wisdom, ordering the plants and the animals and the elements to be fruitful and beautiful and harmonious. That's why we love decorating and making homes and gardens. They were to love each other, walking together without shame or fear. They had peace in their hearts. There was no tension between who they presented themselves to be and the shrinking self inside. No conflict between desires that warred inside and tore them apart. No sense of this is not right with the world. And best of all, they had the perfect connection with God. They had a harmony with God, which meant that the ocean of love and joy and life and peace that they needed cascaded down onto them like a waterfall. They rested in God's love, whole and harmonious. That's what they're made for. And every human heart, whether it knows it or not, is searching for that peace. But human beings rejected God. Despite the peace and the harmony, despite all the goodness, they doubted God. In foolishness, human beings rebelled against God, seizing the world for themselves, saying, I'm going to rule. I don't need you being God of my life. And from that decision, which we've all joined in as human beings, has come all the fractured relationships, all the brokenness and conflict. This is why the natural world resists our rule and why we damage and destroy so much. This is why we're uneasy in ourselves, unable to rest in our own souls. This is why even the people we love most, we end up in conflict with. This is why there's division and exploitation and hurt and war. At its root is a broken relationship with God. We were made for that connection with God, in which we line up under God's rule and then find that his goodness pours down on us like a waterfall. But with that connection broken, we no longer receive God's life and light and peace and love. And with that straight line now skewed or broken, every other relationship is also skewed and broken. None of the relationships we have function perfectly as they should. And so there's constant conflict, constant restless, dissatisfied, seeking after something more. This is the world we live in. And that's the background to the angel's message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This baby, God come to live among us, is the one who will bring us peace by reconnecting us to God. See, the way the Bible views it is that until you get the relationship with God back lined up, nothing else is going to work. You can't have inner peace, you can't have social peace, you can't deal with the environment, you can't deal with anything fundamentally until you've got this relationship back lined up. We want the quick fixes. We think, God, I just like a peace bubble where you kept away all the bad stuff. But God is in the making all things new business, starting from the inside with our hearts being reconnected to God. Actually, this is one of the key differences between Eastern meditation ideas and Christianity. Eastern meditation says, shut out realities. Christianity says, you need to focus on the ultimate reality and be reconnected to it so that it can pour into you, so that God's life and light and love can pour into you, so you can have peace with God that then enables you to have peace in this world and be peacemakers. If God's Spirit comes to live in you, then you have the power to be those who are peacemakers in relationships, who can change the world. But it's not automatic. In fact, our default as human beings is to defy God and to continue to war against God, so that when he comes to make all things new, he will defeat us because we're his enemies and cast us out from that peaceful, life-filled world we're made for. And so we need Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come and bring peace between God and humanity. That's what we need. We need Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come and die on the cross. He comes as God and man, so he bridges that gap between God and man. He's man, and so he can take our rebellion and our guilt at that rebellion and God's judgment at it. He's God, so he can pay a price big enough for all humanity. He's God, so as the wronged party, he can choose to pay our debts himself. As God and man, he dies on the cross so that he can bring us peace with God, relationship restored, back in line with God. And that is how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's how he brings this peace that the angels talk about. As God and man, he restores relationship with God. And if that happens, then we have peace with the most important person. We are able to receive, again, God's waterfall of love and life and peace. From that, we're able to have hearts set at rest about our past and our future. Our guilt is taken away. Our future is certain. Jesus is coming back to make all things new. And we can be those who begin to change the world, who try in our personal relationships, in our involvement in politics and other things, to be peacemakers who bring harmony and justice. And so the angels announce, on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Not just 5 minutes of peace, 5 minutes of shutting out the world briefly before back into the chaos, which perhaps we'll need a little bit over Christmas, but peace that goes to the very core of our being and lasts forever. It's good news in the middle of frantic Christmas activity. It's good news for the everyday frictions and conflicts we all have to deal with. It's good news in a world of wars. And it's good news for that sense of dis-ease that we all carry around in our hearts, that we are not the people we want to be. God has come to put the most important relationship right through Jesus. Jesus brings us peace with God now and then peace with the cosmos when he comes back. And so if you know Jesus, then the encouragement is, remember this. Remember this and then live into it. Choose in the midst of the chaos and the peace disappearing in the household to turn to Jesus in prayer, to speak to your Heavenly Father, to receive from him afresh that confidence and love that enables you to then be peacemakers. And if you don't know Jesus, I hope I've given you a taste of how Jesus is relevant for Christmas and beyond. And if you'd like to find out a bit more, there's a few books that are free on the table outside that you might want to read. You might want to just read a biography of Jesus. We've got Matthew's Gospel, a biography of Jesus, which you're welcome to take away. If the question is, what's the evidence for all this? Isn't this all just a fairy tale? I'd recommend The Case for Christmas, making the case for Jesus being historical. If you want to think a bit more about what is this Christmas message, we've got The Gift. What if Christmas gave you what you always wanted? A little book thinking a bit more about the message of Christmas. So please take those away and think about it more. Next term, we're hoping to run a Christianity Explored course. It's a chance to think more about Jesus again with others in a group and watching DVDs and talking about it. So if that's something that would interest you, please do speak to me. I'd love to have a group starting next term. But for now, let me just pray for us that we would receive and enjoy the peace that God wants to give us in Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you are so committed to restoring relationships, so committed to us having peace forever, that you sent your Son into this world, into the middle of the mess, into suffering and hardship, that you sent your Son ultimately to die that we might be forgiven, restored to relationship with you, able to enjoy your life poured out into us. Father, please help us to receive that, whether for the first time or to be open to being filled afresh for the thousandth time. Lord, please would we remember you and turn to you and enjoy all that you have for us this Christmas. Amen.